أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. It was mentioned that to become a friend and an associate of Imam al-Asr, there are two ways forward. One is a fast track and the other is the slow process, which is the suluk. And the second process, which is suluk, it's the one which is available to everyone. But we shouldn't miss out and do anything that we lose from that fast track that can attract any time during our life. Again, one of the beauties of mu'mineen is that they have to be vigilant. Vigilant in every aspect, in the aspects of spirituality's elevation as well. There is a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Says that إِنَّ لِرَبِّكُمْ فِي أَيَّامِ دَهْرِكُمْ نَفَحَاتٍ فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهَا لَعَلَّهُ أَن يُصِيبَكُمْ نَفْحَةٌ مِّنْهَا. That during your lifetime, from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, there are breezes that come towards you. Now we don't know when they will come towards us, nor how will that be. So we have to be vigilant. That is, whenever a breeze, a nafha, comes from the Almighty Allah, we grasp it, we take it. And that is the point where a person elevates, and that is the fast track towards perfection, towards elevation, and towards coming closer to Allah. It's exactly like these windmills that we have, that windmills are there. As soon as there is a breeze, it attracts, and there it starts generating electricity. The same thing is with us, that if we have ourselves prepared at all times, these windmills and this soul of ours, it will elevate. So we talked about ascension quite a lot, that a person can ascend, can elevate at a high speed. The same thing is with declining and with a downfall. If the elevation of a person is of a high speed, the downfall is also fast. That also is there. So it's not granted that if a person becomes good, he will remain good, or it's not granted that if a person is bad, he will remain bad. Both sides are open at all times. If you refer to Sahih al-Sajjadiyya, our fourth Imam over there says that وَلَا تَرْمِ بِي رَمْيَ مَنْ سَقَتَ مِنْ عَيْنِ رِعَايَتِكَ. That as there are moments in a lifetime for to elevate, moments come across through our life where we go down, where we descend, and the distance between us and Allah increases. So we have to be vigilant, we have to be careful. Or if you look into, there is a hadith from the Holy Prophet says that dua, and this has been reported from other ma'asumeen as well, says that Allahumma la takilna ila anfusina tarfata aynin abada. That, O Allah, never leave me on myself, even for a moment. Tarfatain is the blink of an eye. Says, as small, as minute as the blink of an eye, never leave me to myself. Umm Salama, she asked Rasulullah, do you recite that dua as well? Allahumma la takilna ila anfusina tarfatain abada. And in reply, Rasulullah says that my brother, My brother Yunus, he was just for a moment away and he got lost. That is, he went offline just for a moment. And as a result of that, he was punished for 30 years in the stomach of that fish. Now, what was the reason that he was lost? Or what was the reason that he became selfish for a moment? It wasn't a sin that he had committed, because we believe that that the prophets, they are all ma'soom. They don't commit sins. Now, if there has been any shortcomings in their performance, that is tarki awla, and it was something which should not have been done by them because they possess that high caliber and that position and rank which they have. Now, what did he do? Prophet Yunus, he propagated for 30 years. Quran talks about prophets very loud. For example, says that wadhkur fil kitabi Ibrahim innahu kana siddiqan nabiyya, that rasul wadhkur, remember that he is constantly educating the Holy Prophet, that remember Ibrahim, remember Musa, remember Ismail, wadhkur fil kitabi Musa, wadhkur fil kitabi Ismail, wadhkur fil kitabi Idris, that remember him, remember him, remember him, that you have to keep them in mind. And again says that wala takun ka sahibi hut, that prophet, don't be like that prophet who was the associate of the fish, that is Prophet Yunus. Now, what did he do that Allah says don't be like him? Now, when he says don't be like him, it is not a negative issue which he has done, because in Quran Allah says wassalamun ala al-mursaleen, that salam of Allah be upon all the prophets. But over here says that don't be like the associate of the fish, which is Prophet Yunus. Prophet Yunus, he propagated for 30 years, and he was among those prophets who his nation did not have faith in him. They did not embrace. And then when he complained to Allah, he was informed that an adhab, a chastisement, is going to downpour on them on that designated time. Now, he was sure that wahy has been revealed, he has been informed that an adhab is to downpour on this nation. So what he did, that before that adhab coming to that nation, he fled away, he left away, he evacuated that village, that place. For that reason that he evacuated, he left his nation, although he hasn't done anything wrong, he was informed that an adhab is going to come there upon that nation. He left them away so that he is not killed in that adhab. Says that he shouldn't have done that. Because he is the leader, because he is the guide, because he is the prophet, he should have been there until the last moment. Maybe someone changes his mind and wants to embrace. For that reason, that he was quick in moving away, because he became selfish for a moment, in our easier words. That's why Allah says, I punished him for 30 years and he was he was swallowed by that fish. Says, don't be like the associate of the fish, don't be like Prophet Yunus. So people who ascend and elevate and come to a high rank, they have a tough exam to give. Now, to understand this in easier and better words, you could say that a car, if it's parked in the parking lot and you play with the steering wheel, nothing happens to it. But if it's traveling on high speed, on a highway, on a motorway, there, if someone plays with the steering wheel, it's a disaster. Or if the air in the tires is not right, again, that disaster is there. The higher the speed, the more the disaster. Or a plane flying at a very supersonic speed, if it just moves its direction for a fraction of a second, it's a disaster. The same thing is with these personalities who have elevated so much. A little movement here and there is a destruction over there. That's why there is this tough test from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So, because awliyaullah, the prophets, the a'imma, they are all a reflection of Allah, and Allah is all mercy, He wants their his reflection also to possess this, that mercy until the last moment. Now, if you see the seerah of Amirul Mu'mineen or the tragedy of Karbala, you see that Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, he says, the war that is to start on the day of Ashura, let it be after the Zuhr prayers. That is the ruling. Says that yustahabbu an yubda bil qital ba'd zawal ash-shams. That it is mustahab that if a battle, if a war is to start, you start the war after sun, after the zawal, after the Zuhr prayers. Wa ba'd salat az-Zuhr tuftahu abwab as-samaa wa taqbalu ar-rahmah. Says at that time, after the Zuhr prayers, the doors of the skies, they open, and the mercy of Allah, it attracts. So for that reason, because if that is done, you may find that people, they turn towards the right and they embrace. For that reason, most of the battles, most of the wars that were fought by Amir al-Mu'mineen were after Zuhr. The same thing is on the day of Ashura, it was after Zuhr prayers. Prophet Yunus, he made haste. He left his town, abandoned his town, and left his people. For that reason, he was punished. So, for Awliyaullah, the task is tough, the test is tough, and for that reason, they are punished also. When we talk about sins, it is not as such that sins, they are limited to just lying, backbiting, or, God forbid, whining and adultery, etc., etc. It's sins, they are vast in meaning. Or in a very easy description or definition, we could say that sin is something which distances us from Allah. Anything. It could be anything that distances us from Allah is a sin. Everything which brings us closer to Allah, that is not a sin. So that is an easy definition of... So based upon this definition of sin, that anything that distances us from Allah is a sin, if you look into the du'as, they are understood in a better way. For example, in Sahif Sajjadiyya, in Dua Abu Hamza, in that lengthy dua which our fourth Imam recites in the month of Ramadan, he comes after pleading and crying to this sentence and says that وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُ مَوْلَايَ ذُنُوبِ فَزِعْتُ. That God, if I look into the sins that I have committed, I am devastated, I am wretched. Now Imam, ma'soom, he hasn't done any sins. So what does it mean over here? So things that distance from Allah, it could be anything, that is classified and it's counted as a sin. To understand that again in better and easier words, kids, when they start going to school, they can hardly write letters, symbols, numbers, they can't. Now whatever the teacher teaches them, they write in whatever language, in script they have, but still the teacher says, well done, she gives them a star, because it has some faint resemblance to that letter which he has taught to the kid. But as he grows, and for example, if that child who could hardly write at that early age, if he becomes a calligrapher and he writes, becomes masters in writing, then at that stage when he has mastered in writing and there is no one competing him, if he writes and there is a fraction of a distance of the two words that have to come together, or the ink which he has used, it is not of the right quality, he doesn't accept it. So that was the same person who was in that lower stage, although he had not written good, the teacher says she has done good. But when he himself masters and becomes a specialist in that field, and a faintest error and mistake from him, he himself doesn't accept. Although others, like me and you, when we see what he has written, what he has done, we won't find it out. But still, they say because they have come to a point that the faintest and the minor error for them, it is a huge mistake that they have committed. Over here it's the same, that Imam says that when I look into my files, my performance, I am devastated, I am wretched. Again, to understand this in a better and a, in our day-to-day affairs, Marhum Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat, one of the great Urafa of the past century, he says that I was once walking in Tehran and I had to cross the roads. And there was a herd of camels that were passing by and I had to cross. I just stopped for the camels to pass and then I said I'll cross the road. Now he says that at that time a makruh thought came into his mind. A makruh thought, for example, like sleeping after having a big meal, for example, or having a big meal, eating a lot is makruh, or anything which is makruh. He had a makruh thought, not that he had done something makruh, not that he had sinned, not that he had committed something wrong. A makruh thought, for example, I'll go home and have a big meal, like that. It came into his mind. He says that had come to his mind. Now these camels, they crossed, and the last camel that passed by him kicked him, but he jumped away. Had he not jumped away, he would have hurt himself. But people who have elevated and come to that high rank, they are smart. As it was mentioned earlier, that mu'mineen, they have to be vigilant, that when these breezes come, to attract them. So he was vigilant. Now he didn't say that it was something ittifaqi, it was something which just happened out of the blue, and it was nothing. He started calculating that what was the reason that that camel kicked me. There should be something. He comes straight to the mosque, starts praying and asking Allah for what the reason was for that. And then he was informed it was that makruh thought which came to your mind, and that is the reason why that camel kicked you. So someone who has come to that high caliber, that high position, for him Allah doesn't want them to have that faintest wrong thoughts also in their mind. Now for these thoughts that we have, that many a times these questions are asked, that what about the sins that a person done? There is tawbah, there is repentance. But sometimes a person thinks about a sin, although he hasn't committed a sin, although he will not be punished. Now the reasoning that is given from based upon riwayat is that if you have a beautiful room decorated in white and you have some, for example, barbecue in that room, you find smoke and it makes the white polish of that room dark. Sins, thoughts of sins, thinking about sin, it darkens the surface of the heart. That crystal clear heart which Allah has created. So for them, because of that makruh thought, he was kicked by that camel. Again, now this person, he is someone, says that every day, now there was a majlis, and he was feeling hungry at that time. He says to the host, if there is some bread, get me some bread. Some bread is brought to him, and he eats that bread. Because it was fresh, it was hot, he ate a little more than what he did usually. And he says that it was his habit that at the end of the day, he recites a ziyarat for Ahlul Bayt. Now his recitation of ziyarat is not like the recitation of the ziyarat which we do. He says that that day when I recited the ziyarat for Ahlul Bayt, I did not see them. That is, every time he recites a ziyarat for Ahlul Bayt, it is as if he is in their presence and addressing them in front of them. He says, I didn't see them. And then started calculating and found out the reason for that was him having overeating that bread. Now, among the beauties of this person, he says that he was 25 years of age, and when he said salam, that is, assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, in his prayers, it was said in the presence of Rasulullah. So, these are great personalities who are like that. So if they have that faint idea or thought of a makruh, a camel kicks them. Now, these things do happen in our lives, but we are not smart enough. We are not vigilant. We just say that it's just something which happened like that. All these problems that come around in our life, now the more they come, the stronger we should get. Instead of becoming stronger and instead of blaming ourselves, we blame each other. We have to be like the prophets. We have to be like these great personalities, that when these things do come across in our lives, we have to start calculating that why did that happen? Why were we, for example, beaten up? Why were we sworn, etc., etc. Not like Shaitan. Shaitan, he never blamed himself. He blamed others. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He invites people, but many a times no one accepts his invitation. Now, when no one accepts his invitation, he also could have said that, to hell with these people, I've done my job. Instead, he comes, cries, weeps, and says that, God forgive me if I have done something wrong, or if there has been a shortcoming in my performance, as a result of which the nation is not accepting my word. This is Rasulullah. And Allah says that, why do you put yourself so much in burden? You've done your job, you've done your task. But still he blames himself. If people of his time do not accept his message, instead of blaming them or running after excuses, he blames himself. So we have to learn to blame ourselves. If you look into this dua in Sahifa Sajjadiyya, again it's amazing. Our fourth Imam, when he says that, God, when I look into myself, into my performance, I feel devastated, I feel wretched for all the sins that I have done. Now, Imam in this dua, he says, God, forgive me. Forgive me for what? وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ مِنْ كُلِّ لَذَّةٍ بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِكَ. Now, Allah, He has created us, and He has bestowed all of these different blessings in this world. Eating, drinking, houses, wives, spouses, children, kids. Now, everyone feels happy when all of these blessings are around him. For example, I felt happy. Imam says that I felt happy, that is, I was relaxed. Says, I felt happy, that is good. But that feeling and sensation of happiness and joy in me, without your remembrance, I ask you to forgive me. For example, if you look at a little baby, you feel happy. Says, I got happy by looking at that baby. I felt good. That goodness which I had, but that feeling of goodness by looking at that baby I had, without your remembrance, that is a sin for him, he says. Says, God, forgive me. وَاسْتَغْفِرُكَ مِنْ كُلِّ لَذَّةٍ بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِكَ. So Imam says, forgive me for everything that I enjoyed, and God, you were not part of it. It's great, a person who has arrived to think. Or for example, says that, وَمِنْ كُلِّ رَاحَةٍ بِغَيْرِ أُنْسِكَ. That I got tired and I relaxed, I dozed off. So it says, I dozed off, I relaxed. But again, if that relaxing of mine was without your remembrance in it, forgive me, because that is a sin. For the وَمِن كُلِّ سُرُورٍ بِغَيْرِ قُرْبِكَ وَمِن كُلِّ شُغْلٍ بِغَيْرِ طَاعَتِكَ. So, people who have come to that great rank, their calculations of their performance is in a different way. Now, the reason why all these elite class is being mentioned over here is that we get a gloomy picture of what their livelihood is like. So that when we look into the lives of these elite class creations of Allah, of Awliya Allah, we get access at least in the economy or the coach class. So, for that reason, Awliyaullah are being mentioned. Faiz-e Kashani, one of the great mufassireen of the Shia world, he says that for this reason, you must not be like Yunus, addressed to the Prophet. That be like other prophets, don't be like Yunus. That he left away his nation in devastation, and he sought refuge himself. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. And then سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Now when Prophet Yunus found out that he has done wrong, he did not start blaming others. He says, إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. That God, I am wrong, I have done wrong, forgive me. So this is a good quality, that we blame ourselves and look into ourselves, that we, when we fell into darkness and evil and sins, we look into the faults that are in self, that are in ourselves. Not like Shaitan, who said that قَالَ إِن بِمَا فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Now that you've sacked me, now that you've ousted me from your presence, I will sit on your path and deviate everyone. Instead of finding faults in himself, he blames others and he sits against the path of Allah. Now, this is on one side. The same excuses can be seen today, that now whatever is said about awliyaullah, whatever is said about salihin, all these are the words of the past, and they may not be applicable to us today, and it may not be possible for us to be like them. Now whenever thoughts of this nature come to our mind, know that Shaitan is there. It's Shaitan who is pumping this information and these thoughts, that all this that is being said and recited and uttered is for the people of the past. Living in the West, living in America, living in Europe, all this is not possible. All that is possible. People were the same people who lived then, and people are the same people living now. Creation was the same creation then, creation are the same creation now. But according to those riwayat that were mentioned here on the first 2 days, ma'asumeen, they say that people of the end of time, the understanding, the fahm, the intellect which they possess is more. So when that is the case, then the attraction of these qualities of Allah, or being a reflection of Allah, also should be more than the people of the past. Because Imam says, Ma'asum says, and the word of Ma'asum is always haq, is always true. Like the saying of Allah, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, salawat. And the best example for this is the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya. Now she is someone who is living in the headquarters of Kufr, living somewhere who is claiming to be the God, living in the headquarters where every evil, where every conspiracy is being planned. But she lives over there and comes out as someone where Quran talks so loud about her, says that Zaraballah mathalan lilladheena amanu imra'ata fir'aun, that an example is being set for the mu'mineen. Who is that? Imra'ata fir'aun, wife of Fir'aun. Lilladheena amanu, an example for everyone who has faith, not just women, women and men. Lilladheena amanu, all those who have faith. So finding faults in others, blaming each other, that is not the solution. May that be between husbands and wives. If there are quarrels and disputes, we should try, or between fellow brothers and sisters, or in the community members, we have to try and find blames in ourselves, faults in ourselves, rather than accusing others, especially when it comes to husbands and wives. So we have to try to be like that, that we blame us, not the other party. Now, that way, elevation is stronger. Now, when it says that during your lifetime there are these breezes from Allah, and we have to try to attract them, and if we are lucky in attracting them, elevation is certain. That getting distance, reducing that distance between us and Allah, it's more possible. So over here, Prophet Yunus, he found out that he was at fault. He shouldn't have left his nation so quick, says, Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, that God, I have been an oppressor, I have been a zalim, and I have done wrong. So again, if you see dua Abu Hamza, there Imam says that one of the reasons why we don't have that presence of mind in our prayers, we try to put the blame on others, that it was you who made our prayers faulty. It was all these different excuses that we come up with. Imam over here mentions 10 things, says that لَعَلَّكَ أَنْ بَابِكَ تَرَدْتَنِي, that I offered my prayers and that presence of mind wasn't there, my mood wasn't there, or the quality of that prayer wasn't so good. Says God, maybe you don't like me, you've kicked me away from your presence. لَعَلَّكَ أَنْ بَابِكَ تَرَدْتَنِي. Or says that أَوْ لَعَلَّكَ رَأَيْتَنِي مُسْتَخِفًا بِحَقِّكَ فَأَقْسَيْتَنِي. Or maybe, Allah, you saw that I don't take care of your rights carefully, you've driven me away. Or says that أَوْ لَعَلَّكَ رَأَيْتَنِي مُعْرِضًا عَنْكَ فَخَلَّيْتَنِي. أَوْ لَعَلَّكَ وَجَدْتَنِي فِي مَقَامِ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Or maybe, Allah, you thought that you found me, that I am not truthful, I am a liar, or the claim that I have. Now, all these are the words of Ma'sumin, that he is talking to Allah in that way. That is, he has come to a point that everything which distances him from Allah, he says, is a sin. أَوْ لَعَلَّكَ فَقَدْتَنِي مِنْ مَجَالِسِ الْعُلَمَاءِ فَخَذَلْتَنِي. And says that, God, maybe you found that I have abandoned the majalis of ulama, as a result of that, you have deprived me from your presence, and these prayers of mine are not of that right quality. So, being in the presence of ulama, benefiting from them, is again among those issues. Now, Imam mentions 10 points over there, which inshallah, if we get some time, we will cover them as well. So, we have to hurt ourselves. If these sticks or if these kicks come across our lives, we have to calculate. Now, all this is a lesson to me first. We have to look into them, calculate them, that why did it happen? Why did it happen to me? What was wrong? What went wrong? That quality control or that quality check has to be there, so that we look into it and what is wrong. Again, the topic is the associates of our 12th Imam. Among his associates is Ali ibn Mahziyar. You must have heard his name. And he is someone who performs Hajj for 19 years, 19 times. And with that hope that he will meet the Imam. 19 years he goes to Hajj. And on the 20th year, he said that, now I went for Hajj for 19 years and nothing has happened, so Imam, it's not possible for me to meet him. I won't go to Hajj anymore. He is informed that come to Hajj this year and Imam will meet you, will see you. He says that I went to Hajj that year and I was sitting in Masjid al-Haram just waiting to see what's going to happen, and again he lost hope. Says that again another year came, another Hajj performed, the meeting of Imam wasn't there. Because riwayat says from our fifth Imam that tamamul hajj liqa'ul imam, that the perfection, the completion of the hajj is meeting the Imam. If a person meets the Imam of time in hajj, that is his perfect hajj, his hajj is complete. Says, I didn't meet him this time as well. Then a person comes to him and says that this is the address and that is the destination, and Imam is waiting to see you. He got happy. He comes and sees the tent of the Imam and then gives the complete description of what he sees in the tent, the decor of the tent, the looks of the Imam, and there says that Imam was in the tent. And the first thing which he says to Ali ibn Mahziyar when he meets him, says that قَدْ كُنَّا نَتَوَقَّعُكَ, that I've been waiting for you for 20 years. Imam says to him that I've been waiting for you. Why have you delayed so much? Why have you come so late? And the reason why he sought this access to the Imam on the 20th year is Because all those years he was selfish. He was confident that he will definitely meet the Imam. With that confidence or overconfidence, he didn't meet them. Now this time on the 20th year, his heart broke. That why did I not meet the Imam? And again in this market or in this bazaar wherein Imam lives and dwells, over there they look and they buy only broken hearts. Only when a heart breaks, they buy it. They take it. And for us to come to the Imam or to become a friend of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, that heart has to break. That heart has to melt. And that heart has to cry. And again, as it was mentioned repeatedly, that to find access to Ahlul Bayt or to get to the presence of the 12th Imam, the best way is to cry. And to cry upon Aba Abdullah al-Hussein and his mother, Hazrat Zahra, Salamullahi alayha. Says that I enter the tent of the Imam and I see the radiant face of his, and the first thing he says that Ya Abul Hasan, Abul Hasan is the name of Ibn Mahziyar, says that Qad kunna natawakkauka laylan wa nahara, that we have been waiting for you day and night. Why have you come so late? And again in that other regarding Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyas, when he starts seeing the Prophet at the age of 25, when he says salam in his prayers as if it is in the presence of Rasulullah, in one of those presences he says that Rasulullah said to him, why have you come so late? Why have you come so late? So presence of Ma'asumeen benefiting them is something which is present now. Shortcomings are in us, barriers are in us, all these bars are in us. We haven't lifted the bars yet. The moment the bars are lifted, the presence is there. And then he starts finding excuses that this and what not, blaming this and that. Imam says, what you say is not right. He writes something on the earth, on the ground. And then says that the reason why you were so late and you did not benefit from me, or I didn't meet you, or you didn't meet me, the reason was your busy schedule. You were too much busy in this dunya, in your businesses, in your livelihoods, in your affairs, in your breaking of relationships, what and what not. For that reason, this distance was so much between me and you. Or as it was defined, the definition of the sin is anything which distances us from Allah is a sin. Although it might not be defined as a sin, that is the definition, that anything which distances us from the Imam is a sin. So we have to try and do something that this distance between us and him, it is lessened as much as it is possible. Among the issues, just for your general knowledge we need to know, is that after the arrival, now, Imam al-Asr, he cries for Aba Abdullah day and night, laylan wa nahara. And he is, when he arrives after him, again, the riwayat we have which talk about how long Imam is going to live, and then his shahadat is there. And when will that be? When Imam, that is the 12th Imam, the love of Imam Aba Abdullah and Hussein is in every heart, at that time the shahadat of our 12th Imam will take place and this imamat will be taken over by Aba Abdullah and Hussein, and he will be the Imam of time. So how painful is that going to be, that Aba Abdullah, he has seen the tragedy of Karbala, how his sons one after the other, they perished on the day of Ashura. And again after that, Imam al-Asr, he cries for lifelong for Aba Abdullah. And then Aba Abdullah and Hussein, he sees with his own eyes that his grandson again passes away. And that whole thing is very touchy and tragic. But in any case, after Aba Abdullah, he becomes the Imam of time. And the associates of Abu Abdullah and Hussein, they will come back. Now we have a belief, and that is known as Raj'at. Raj'at means that after our 12th Imam, some of the Imma will be brought back to life and they will rule on this earth. That Imamate will be given to them. Who are they? We don't know. How many are they? We don't know. But some of the Imams are certain. Among them is Abu Abdullah and Hussein, who will be resurrected, who will come back. Now when we talk about Raj'at in Ziyarat, we do say that Raj'at of the Imam is for sure. Talking about the associates of our 12th Imam, this universe, the paradise, it's waiting for a few women, for four women. Now, who are these four women? One of them is Hazrat Zahra, salamullahi alayha. Second is her mother, Hazrat Khadija. Third is Maryam. And the fourth is Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Now, what has Asiya done that she is reminded and remembered among the four best women of the paradise? She is a young lady, 30 years or less in age, wife of Fir'aun, who claims to be the god, living in the headquarters of kufr, of conspiracies, of nifaq, of every evil, yet she elevates to a rank that she is remembered in Quran as Daraballahu Matalan Lilladina Amanu Imra'ata Fir'aun. That for mu'mineen, for those who believe, she has been set as an example. We talk about feminism a lot nowadays. Now what is the meaning of that? Now feminism, the description they give is that women, they are equal to men. When we define about elevation, spirituality, elevation, ascension, coming closer to Allah, it doesn't mean that it's only for men. No, women also have the same share in it. Because the gender, the male and the female, it's for the body. Ascension, spirituality is for the soul. And soul is neither male nor female. So it's that shell that has been given to this soul that is either a man or a woman. And that doesn't elevate. The soul elevates. That is one thing to bear in mind. Now when these people, they talk about feminism, they say that equal rights should be given to man and woman, which doesn't sound right. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that al-mar'atu rayhanatun laysat biqahramana, that a woman, she is a delicate flower, she is not a hero. Now, if you see today, now all these tough tasks, sometimes you see women, young ladies, riding a heavy bulldozer. Does it look good? It looks awful. Or running these cranes, all these heavy duty things. It's, Amir Mu'min says that she is a delicate flower. Tasks given to the woman should be delicate tasks, lovely tasks. So, okay. Another salawat. There have been women. Now when we talk about associates of Imam al-Asr, we say Shaykh Ansari, Sayyid Bahrul Ulum, so on and so forth, only the men are being mentioned. But there have been women, there are women even today, who have been the associates of the Imam, who will be the associates of the Imam. And among the 313, I will come to that point again, there is a certain number who are women. There is a book in 5 volumes called Rayahin al-Sharia. And it is a beautiful book. And it has listed all these women who have performed miraculous tasks and who have elevated to those high levels of perfection and ascension. Now I'll just mention a few examples so that you get an idea that they are the same in this field, and it is not as such that men are more than them. In Kashan, an orator, a reciter, Shaykh Habibullah Kashani, he says that It was the month of Muharram. And the majalis that are held in Iran, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in India, it's not like here that just one majlis from 8 to 10 only. Their majalis in Muharram, they start after Fajr prayers and they continue house to house, door to door until Maghrib, until midnight. Says in Iran also it's the same. Says he comes to Kashan, starts reciting majalis, and the whole day was scheduled and all the hours were booked. Says one old woman comes to me and says that, Ashiq Habibullah, I want you to recite at my house as well. He says, Mother, my schedule is full. I have no time and I cannot commit. All I have committed my full day. She says, any time, a little bit of time, just come to my house and recite. He says, I can't, but she pleads. Now he says, I'll give her a time, and she definitely says, no, I don't want that time. And in the hot days of summer, after lunch, people, they rest. They have a little nap. He says that, okay, I'll come to your house at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock is a bad time. But after lunch, it is when everyone rests. She says, that's a very good time. I'll take it and come to my house, recite. He says that it was amazing that I gave her the worst time. That was the only time I had, and she accepts. And the majalis start in her house. He says that I came, I saw it's a little humble house with a very humble member, and a few ladies, they come and they sit and they cry for Abu Abdullah and Hussein. Says, every day I went there, I recited, and on the day of Ashura, as it was a busy day and the schedule also was full, I said that if I don't go to her house one day, she won't say anything. I've been going to her house for 9 days. He says, now today I'll just take a day off, and comes home, has his lunch and dozes off. As soon as he closes his eyes, Hazrat Zahra says that, Ashiq Habibullah, you didn't go to that woman's house? He got up, wretched, gets up ready, rushes to that woman's house. In the lanes, he sees that old woman, she is walking up and down. She says, what have you done? Why are you late? Hazrat Zahra, she's in the majlis and we are all late. Now this man, he sees in his dreams that she has come and given a message that, where are you? That woman sees her, the presence of Hazrat Zahra in that majlis. So someone... So women, they too possess that position. Regarding Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, says Quran that wa fir'auna dhil awtad, that this young lady, she living under the roof and under the shelter of Fir'aun, is a supporter of Waliyullah. Supporter of the Imam of her time, who is Musa. And when Fir'aun finds out that his own wife is a supporter of his own enemy, she has a severe punishment. And the punishment, the harshest which he had at that time, was that he nailed the person in the ground. وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ الَّذِينَ اتَّغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Awtad is the plural of watad. Watad means nails. He had 4 nails dug in the ground. Some reports say that this person who was to be punished was nailed with those 4 nails in the ground. And a huge big boulder was rolled onto the chest of this person. And that person was crushed to death. Now, she has done a crime, a grave crime, and punishment which she deserves also is great. She is grounded, she is nailed, and that boulder is put onto her chest. And in the last moments of her life, she says that, وَقَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That God, whatever I did was for that Waliyullah, was in the support of your messenger. I've done my task. Now what do I want from you? رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي. O God, make for me. عِنْدَكَ, before you, بَيْتًا, a house, فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I want a house by you, besides you, near you, that is in the presence of Allah. So these are one of the great personalities that the paradise is waiting for. Associates of our 12th Imam. Again, in the movement of our 12th Imam, when he arrives, inshallah, and may Allah hasten his reappearance and enlist us among his associates and friends, says that in that cabinet of the Imam, that is the 313. Now, in the cabinets that we have in this dunya, in all these countries, might be 40, 50, 30, I don't know how many, the maximum, if you say 50 ministers might be working in a cabinet. But because Imams rule, it's going to be a worldwide rule, and he will be ruling on this whole world, 50, 40, 30 would do no good. His ministers are 313. And then says the riwayat that from these 313 ministers of the cabinet of the 12th Imam, 50 of them are women. يَجِيءُ وَاللَّهُ ثَلَاثُ مِئَةٍ وَبِضْعَةَ عَشَرَ رَجُلًا فِيهِمْ خَمْسُونَ إِمْرَأَ. Among them, 50 of them are women. Now this report is from our 5th Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam. And in another report, again the same thing can be seen, that there will be a few of them will be women. Now the number hasn't been mentioned in this one. And again, if you remember, it was on the first day when we recited the Hadith Lohe Fatima, which was named as the birth certificate of the 12th Imam. Again, over there, the qualities of his associates were mentioned. And if you see the conspiracies of Dajjal, the concept of Dajjal, who will appear in the end of time, it is not as such that he will be an existence in a human form, or a human being with a one eye in his forehead, not all that. Inshallah, if we get some time later on, we can discuss that topic. So Dajjal, it's a movement, it's a system which will come across to deviate people, to put them away from Imam. Says that in that conspiracies or in that movement of Dajjal, there will be women who will fight Dajjal. As there will be women with Dajjal to fight Haq, there will be women in the right path who will fight Batil as well. So women are there. So there is no restriction for women not being part and parcel of the movement and the existence of Imam. If that the limitations which Allah has mentioned for them, they are observed, they can do the tasks that they have, that a man also can perform. Now, among the maraja of our time, which many of you might have been in taqleed with after marhum Imam Khomeini, is Ayatullah al-Uzma Araki. Many of the mu'mineen, they switched to his taqleed after Imam. He is one of the great muqaddas, pious people who lived and who died in the early 90s. He has a daughter who is alive, and he said that she is among those of his children who himself raised and educated her. And she wants to go for Hajj. She has registered and her name comes out and she has to go for Hajj. And she's scared that now someone who has been so chaste, living in a very sterile environment, how is she to travel to a different place and for Hajj, where the people over there are in millions, and how can she be there? She is scared. She says to her father that, how am I going to do that Hajj? And millions of people over there, all performing their tawaf and sa'i, and how will I be safe? Can I be in a sterile environment as I am here now over there? It's impossible. And her father says that the members of the house of Ayatollah Gulpai Ghani also are going for Hajj. You can join them, be with them. They come to Hajj, perform the ziyarat of Medina, and now she is in Mecca. Now father says that if in case you get disturbed or you are scared as to how you will be performing this Hajj, just say Ya Hafiz, and then Allah also will help you. Ya Khabir, Ya Hafiz. And then she says that she came to Masjidul Haram. And there in Masjidul Haram, seeing that huge, big crowd of people, as if a spinning wheel moving around Kaaba, she is scared. That how am I going to do my Hajj? How will I do my Tawaf? I can't go in that huge, big spinning wheel. And then she starts crying, saying, Amma yujib al mudtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu su. And that time when a heart breaks, it's that time where the Prophet says that benefit, be vigilant. And it's the time when you attract those breezes that are coming from Allah. Says, I was reminded of the recital which my father said, say, Ya Khabiru, Ya Hafiz. As soon as I said that recital, I saw in front of me there is a light and there is a circle which opens before me. And there is a call saying that enter into the circle and perform your Hajj with the Imam of your time. She says that. She says, I entered that circle. And I was by the Kaaba. I performed this Tawaf. So much fear I had. How will I do it? Says, no one touched me, no one bothered me, no one bugged me, no one poked his finger to me, and I was holding the aba of the Imam, and all the tawafs, the seven of them, were done, and as soon as I completed, I never saw him. She says, I was just so miserable that why didn't I say salam to the Imam? So if a heart breaks, Imam is there. Or as those riwayat that were mentioned says that you are in pain, we are there. You fell down, we feel the pain. You are in distress, we pray for you. You pray, we say Ameen. So Ahlul Bayt, they are like that. Imam is like that. Being a friend of the Imam needs this sterile environment which we need to get into. As soon as we are there, Imam is there. We don't need any more than that. Among these ziyarat that we have for Aba Abdullah is Ziyaratul Nahiyat al-Muqaddasa. It is, as you all know, a whole ziyarat of masaib recited by the 12th Imam. There when he says that فَلَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ سَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً, that I cry for you, I lament for you day and night. When he was asked that, what do you mean? Is that for Aba Abdullah? Imam says no. Says, is that for Ali Akbar? Says no. Then why do you cry morning and night, day and night? Says, that's for my aunt Zainab. All this pleading of mine is for my aunt Zainab. As that poetry that was recited before, that everything today in Islam, if it has remained, it is because of Aba Abdullah and Hussein. Otherwise, all in vain without Hussein. And if anything from Karbala has remained today, it is by Hazrat Zainab. Obedience she has to the Imam of time. Love she has to the Imam of time. Friendship she has to the Imam of time starts not on the day of Ashura, but from her birth. That is reported that when she is born and the baby is given to the mother, to the father, to the grandfather when he was away, her eyes are closed. But in the laps of her brother, she opens her eyes. That is that bond which she has to the Imam of her time, that love which she possesses. So much so that throughout her lifetime, she says, I have to see my brother a few times a day. And after her wedding, she says, that's a condition that I must be allowed to see him even after my wedding. If he travels, I must accompany him wherever he goes. With that condition, in that wedlock, Abdullah bin Ja'far accepts and she marries him. They come to Karbala again. When they were after Hajj, when that caravan was to leave to Karbala, The messenger says that we can send the household back to Medina and you can continue with the journey. Zainab, she hears it. Who said that? Why did you say that? I will not go anywhere. I have to remain with my brother until wherever he is destined to. She comes to Karbala, and as a staunch supporter of the Imam, she is by the Imam. And again, when this whole tragedy unfolds, and one after the other, the bodies are brought, when the bodies of her own sons are there, she doesn't look at them. And when the heads are distributed after the tragedy of Karbala, they find these two heads as lost property. They say, who do these belong to? They say that it's for Zainab. And she has to cry for another one. That's her brother. The bond which she has, it's amazing. The friendship she has with her brother is amazing. That, again, the support she has for her brother, that's second to none. That on the day of Ashura, when the bodies were being brought, and when the body of Hazrat Ali Akbar was brought, she takes care of the body so that the father is not weakened upon seeing the body of his son. She says, go fight. I'll look after these affairs. And again, she is the one, or the only one we could say, who saw the tragedy on the day of Ashura with her own eyes. She is the one who brings back Abu Abdullah al-Hussein when he is knocked down. She is the one who comes by Abu Abdullah and she sees for herself what Shimr was doing on that day. No one else. Now when we say that Imam al-Asr, the clip of Ashura is evident and before him, now that is a second-hand information which he has. But she sees for herself, or when the horse comes to the camp of Abu Abdullah, and so فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَا النِّسَاءَ جَوَادَكَ مَخْزِيَّا وَنَذَرْنَا سَرْجَكَ عَلَيْهِ مَلْوِيَّا بَرَزْنَا مِنَ الْخُدُورِ. She is the one who comes out. She is the one who laments for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, cries, she rushes towards the battlefield. Again, the love which she has for her brother, it's amazing. Abdullah bin Jafar, he says that in the last moments of her life, this Zainab is not that Zainab who was before Karbala. She is an old, hunched, weak woman. Says that, I saw her in her last moments. She's got some, she says to me that, Abdullah, take me out in the open. He says, why? Says, my brother, he died in that heat under that sun, and you want me to die under this shelter in my home? It's impossible. Her wish granted. She was taken out in the open under the sun. And there he says that, I saw she has a blood-stained shirt, something in her hand, which she kisses, hugs, and puts onto her chest. She repeats it over and over again, and she gives away her life. And says that that was the shirt of her brother, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, which was with her until the last moment of her life. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalbin yanqalibun. Allahumma rizukna shafa'at al-Hussein yawm al-wurud wa thabbit li qadama silqin indaka ma'al Hussein وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام. مات من حسين.